Random thought. The person who makes the most in a relationship has an indefinite free pass to cheat.
Mm.
Not my words at all. I just want to point that out. Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Well, we are those people, and we've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast, episode 116. Be sure to like, subscribe, rate, and leave a review.
Indeed. And, you know, I got to really point out that those are not my words. Because
I hope not.
My wife listens to the podcast. Okay?
Yeah, I'm like, I know you know she listens.
Like, that was kind of bold. Next week, Yanni in the cast.
Hey, so you woke up this morning and chose violence. Got it.
Speaking like Kanye from back in the day, welcome to the show. Whole jaw just wired shut. Yeah, no. So
through the wire, actually, that's what you're going to be.
These were actually the words from Gabrielle Union. So she was on, you remember Dax Shepard, right?
Yeah.
So she from, what was it, Punk'd and a lot of MTV stuff. So she's on his podcast, which a long-ass podcast. It was like 2 hours long, right? And one of the things that she was talking about when there was her first marriage to Chris Howard, who used to be a player for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, I'm a big Gabrielle Union fan. So I remember when she was married to him. I've been following Gabrielle Union for a long time. A long time. Then, yes. Exactly. Call me that. That's fine. I'll be fine. I'm a Gabrielle Union stalker. This I did not know, though. This was interesting to find out. As she said, you know, in the first marriage, neither one of them felt like the marriage should get in the way of their dating. I'm like, wait, what? What do you mean by this, right? And one of the things she talked about, it was like keeping up with his activities. He cheated first, so she kept cheating. She's like, oh, that's what you're doing? You're going to feel this one. And then she felt entitled to do it. Then she said it turned out to the point where she was making the money. She's paying the bills. And like her dad did before was, you know, whoever makes the most gets to do whatever the hell they want to do. So she did what she wanted. And, you know, she was out there doing her thing.
Well, kudos to her that y'all were able to do that and it stayed below the radar.
Right.
That everybody didn't find out, because I think that people's personal lives should be personal. But sometimes when those things get put out like that, a lot of speculation, just like we're about to do right now. Because
before I speculate, let me just tell you about the speculation.
We shouldn't be doing the speculation, but here I go. So I think there's some truth to the fact of whoever makes the most money. I'm not saying they have the right to cheat, but I do think that they wind up having the financial power. Because if you leave the relationship, that's where the power comes into play. So if you're dating somebody, if I'm married to a woman that makes $20 million a year, and I only make the small amount that I make now.
And $1 million? Okay, gotcha.
She wants to leave? Mm-hmm. I'm losing out on a whole lot, even though she cheated, right? Now you could say maybe we didn't have a prenup. What if take all that stuff out the equation? Just the reality is the lifestyle I have being with this person who makes $20 million compared to if she's no longer in the house with me, or at least I'm not in the house with her, because I doubt that she's gonna move. So now I gotta go get myself a one bedroom apartment. My lifestyle changes. She has the financial power. The other thing is, like, if you think about kids, right? Take a guy that has same scenario, he makes $20 million. And you have two kids with this guy, and you don't make that kind of money. Now, you could say, well, child support, he's going to clean up. Yeah, you're going to make your money on child support, but here's the difference. This guy walks away, still a millionaire, and can still date whoever he wants. You're now a single mom with two kids. Regardless if you have money, it's not the most attractive thing that guys want, is to go after women with other people's children. So you still deal with that person, deals with the burden of the fact that this guy cheated. Now, will she find somebody if you got, you know, her alimony is, you know, $25,000 a month? Yeah, she'll be all right. But it's still, you still got two kids at home that you're going to have to deal with the whole dating world, where the guy who had the $20 million, his life still moves on like no problem.
I see your argument, and I raise you Elon Woods. she got so much in their divorce that she tore down their mansion and rebuilt a new one on top of it. Okay. She was like, you know what? I don't want to live in this because you brought your dirty up in here after sleeping around with 40 million women that you're sleeping around with. I'm going to tear this down, build a whole new one. Oh, yes. By the way, here's this new man I brought in. Oh, and here's this new baby. So every argument you just made,
I didn't say it's impossible. There's exceptions to every single rule. Just because it worked out for her doesn't mean it could work out for every woman. Because I think that's what happens. Yeah. Is you got some women that think that, well, I got two or three kids by two or three different dads, and I'm still getting, you know, money from the dads. They're paying for the child support. Mm-hmm. But we don't talk about this aspect that, okay, guys aren't going to really want that. Right. At least for long term, could be fun. You know, it's like a Honda Element. I wouldn't mind driving it once to see what it's like, but I wouldn't buy one.
We know she's doing it. She got a couple kids.
We know you don't always say no. So, and same for the dude, right? If the dude is, what if he's a Cat Williams type of dad that he takes care of his kids? Mm-hmm. And everything. That's awesome. Not every woman wants to date a man that has little children that needs help taken care of, especially mm-hmm. if they've already done that right. in their life. They're like, You're cute. You're funny. I like watching you play your ball game. You got a lot of money, but I'm not going to want to deal with all that.
Yeah, well, you know.
Now, here's the double standard that I don't like mm-hmm. about this situation. If it was Dwayne Wade that came out in the podcast said I used to cheat on Gabrielle, but then we got it together, he would still get judged. I feel like women get a pass.
He had a baby on her. He had a baby on her anyway.
I'm just saying. I think women get a pass. Whenever they tell their stories of whatever they've done wrong, they get a pass. Where a guy is labeled a cheater, once a cheater, always a cheater. But women get a pass.
He came in with a bunch of kids. Then, they took a break, quote unquote break. And he had a baby. They're back together. They're still going strong. You know, we had comedian Justin Whitehead sitting in on the show last week, and he's like, as they're talking about this topic, he's like, yeah, and then what she did, she turned him into his wife, into her wife. I mean, now granted, Dwayne Wade, who was bullying people when him and LeBron were on the court together, is a little different than Dwayne Wade right now. Dwayne Wade right now is walking around with toenail polish, fingernail polish, and everything in the world.
But he's happy. That's all that matters. He's happy. I'm not going to touch that. But all I'm saying is it's a double standard that if a man is known to be a cheater, he's always considered a cheater. People won't forget those things that he's done. Right. Where when a woman does it, it tends to get a pass. Anytime a woman, I think, does anything negative that gets her out of a situation or whatever, it's looked at as praise. Cardi B, you know how I feel about it. You got the picture right behind you. You know how I feel about Cardi B. Is she a talented artist? Yes, but the fact that she used to drug dudes and take their money and then bounce on them, that's a problem. Because if a dude did it, Channing Tatum did it when he was a stripper, he'd be canceled. So I don't like that double standard. So with this, hey, great. I'm glad that Gabrielle's happy. She has Dwayne Wade. They can go get their nails done together, their toes done together, all that stuff. But I don't like the double standard, how women can get away with anything, minus murder. Women get away with anything. Hell, even what's her name? Bobbitt, that chopped off the dude's penis back in the day. Everybody was on her side at first. So wait, what did he do? You just can't say she did something wrong?
Touche. You know, as we get into politics as usual, there's a lot happening for the Republicans. And we kind of said that this was going to come back and bite them in the ass at some point or another. Trump was going to come back and get them. And as they're trying to regain their party, it seems the division is a lot stronger than we all probably thought it was. As Kevin McCarthy, it was a given. He was about to be Speaker of the House, right? Well, 15 tries later, what the hell happened here, man?
Well, it seems like the Republican Party there's no unity there because mm-hmm. you have some people who are still on Trump's side and you mm-hmm. got some people who are trying to distance themselves from Trump. But mm-hmm. what they don't realize is like they're making themselves look bad.
Yes.
To especially to independent voters, right? Independents who don't like all the drama of one best party over the other, which is why they like to be independent.
Right.
All you're doing is proving their point. It's like, yeah, see, this is why y'all are all jacked up because mm-hmm. of this. And they're arguing over little stuff and positioning to get certain things that they want. And that was what the whole 15 voting, you know, voting tries was about, is you have Republican wanting this and somebody has to concede over this and this just to get this person elected to Speaker of the House.
Wait a minute. Is this resilience or is this them just not understand? Is it just proving the point that Republicans don't understand that no means no?
No.
Because I mean, how many times does this man have to be told no? And he kept going back to the well, back to the well, back to the well, back to the well, back to the well. Jeez, I got to stop. I'm about to run out of breath right now.
Well, and it's you would almost want to compare this to a dating scenario. Like if you ask a woman out 5 times and she keeps telling you no, then you're going to be like, you know, let me stop. Now, times 6, 7, or 8, that's starting to sound more like harassment. Maybe we need to call police, get a restraining order.
8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, yeah. And 14.
Yeah. That, yeah. But you get to 13 or 14, you need to call your brothers. Be like, hey, this dude will not leave me alone. But I think the difference was like, it wasn't just him against the world. Mm-hmm. It was him and all the different Republicans that supported him. Yeah. The whole goal was to get Kevin McCarthy in. But it was, we're going to get Kevin McCarthy in, but we're going to need some concessions
right.
on your side for those of us that are no longer Trump followers. And for those of us that are Trump followers, we need this. That was going on in the Republican Party, which makes them look stupid, in my opinion.
Really does. And it shows you that their fighting is a little different because you saw when Matt Gaetz, I'll refrain from calling the names that we're going to call, but
PETA?
Just Google them. Yep. you get him and Kevin McCarthy kind of going in. Kevin McCarthy tries to be the adult and walk away, but somebody else walks up and is upset and has to be dragged away. Like he wants to go fight Matt Gaetz, but you know that wasn't going to be a real fight because if you're about to fight somebody and somebody grabs you from behind in the face like this, that fight's starting. It just ain't going to be the person you originally going to fight with. that's how you know when folks really not trying to fight. They're like, all right, but you know, all right, let me go.
Well, you're dealing with older people. Like us younger folks in the 20s, yeah, that would have been a fight starting. Mm. I'm 48. You come around that, I'm going to be like, wait, who is it? And how bad do I really want to do this? In my mind, I'm like, okay, what if you flip him over? But like my back, I don't think I can do it with my back.
Hey, do I have the appointment with the chiropractor later this week? Yes. Nope. Okay. No.
Wait a minute. I got a gap in my insurance. So if I get hurt today, it's not going to be a good idea.
So one of these things that they were trying to do, they actually had some opposition for Kevin McCarthy as well. And turns out it's a brother.
Byron Donalds, I think, mm-hmm. out of Florida. So here's what's interesting about him, because Cori Bush, who's a Democrat from Missouri, she was calling the Republicans racist and pretty much saying that Byron is a prop, that they're just trying to find another black person and put him up. And then, of course,
we're not racist. We got a black candidate.
Yeah, no, even our candidate is black. See, we like everybody. No, you can't come to my house, Byron, but you know, we definitely.
Unless you're serving drinks.
Yeah, just come in the back. Just come in the back. Yeah, park in the back. You good.
Matter of fact, while you're parking, park everybody else's cars too. And no, you can't take tips.
But what was interesting about this is as this is starting to blow up, a lot of people were figuring out, like, who's Byron Donalds? And I saw on Twitter, like, this said that every person in a black Greek fraternity is, like, looking to see if Byron Donalds is a member of their fraternity because he went to FAMU. But
I'm going to find out he's an alpha.
No, he's not. thank you. He's not. But so it comes to find out that I think in 1997, he had a marijuana charge that it was a possession charge that eventually got expunged, as well as another charge in like early 2000s.
Well, you know, we got a report from Channel 4 here.
It's been posted on the internet after it was ordered sealed by the courts. A 1997 misdemeanor arrest for distribution of marijuana, and in 2000, a second-degree felony for receiving a bribe. Donald says those claims are inaccurate. He claims he was arrested for possession of pot, not distribution, and the second offense was for theft, not taking a bribe.
15 years ago, I came in contact with a girl. She offered me $1,000 for my debit card and my PIN number, and I gave it to her. I never got the $1,000, but I had to make restitution to the bank, in excess of $7,000.
Okay, right there.
I knew right you had there. Something to say.
Right there. As soon, because I'm like, okay, everybody has a story, and yeah. You heard me say I got to hear both sides.
But always.
Right here, I want to say, what's the word? Rogan, please. Like, that doesn't make sense. So you met a woman. Well, I like this. It wasn't, it was just possession, not possession.
Not to, just, hey, there is a difference though. Let's be real. There's a difference between possession and distribution.
Well, there's a difference is if you get caught distributing, that's distribution. But if I have 5 dime bags on my dresser, mm-hmm. I'm probably planning to sell 1 or 2 of those. Because who just buys that many dimes? I mean, you got to get a bunch. I mean, so I understand, or so I hear, you know, that's how it works. But the whole, I met this young lady,
yeah,
and she offered me $1,000 to give her my debit card and my PIN number. Yeah. Right there, how stupid are you? And then you gave it to her without the $1,000.
Oh, how fine was she?
Yeah. And then now you owe $7,000? Come on now. There's more to that story. Because if that's what you're going to run with, you're telling everybody, yeah, I shouldn't be in this job. I'm not. I don't make good decisions.
At all. I mean, what did this woman say to you? What did this woman look like? What did this woman do to you for you to give up your card number and your PIN number?
Yeah. Was it like Corinne Steffens? Is that who?
Ain't nothing that good. Nothing.
Man. I don't know. But it just didn't make any sense to me. But I'm like, well, Republicans, if y'all going to put this person up, wouldn't you have really done a deeper dive? And this is why I know I felt the Republicans weren't that passionate about him as a candidate anyway.
Yeah.
Because if they were, they'd have vetted all that stuff and already been prepared to, hey, you need to talk about this. This is going to come up. I need you to make sure you say this and this. Because that quote that you played was from an old interview.
That's from 8 years ago. Yes.
Yeah. So they would have told him, hey, you need to be prepared to talk about this, and he wasn't.
Well, here's the thing. You're right. He was a prop. He was set up there to you know, hey, we're not racist. See? We gave the black guy a shot. He didn't make it. Kevin's in. So now we got to go with another white guy, too. That's what it's going to be at the end of the day. You know, one of the things that also popped up as we get into For the Love of Sports was this tweet by one of your guys, right? Isn't Kyle Kuzma part of the Lakers, or used to be?
Used to be.
Okay, used to be, yeah. So he put up this thing and says, you know, ESPN's coverage on this Dana White situation is flat out embarrassing. And what he's talking about is this video that popped up last week of Dana White, New Year's Eve, in a club in Mexico. He and his wife, intoxicated, she smacks him in the face. And then he smacks the crap out of her, and people have to step in and kind of separate them. And you can see people almost looking like, hey, other people are looking, other people are looking, and trying to keep them away in that space. And of course, Dana White comes out, says, you know, a lot of people are going to have an opinion. A lot of people are going to feel a kind of way, and rightfully so. But this is the first time this has ever happened. This has never happened before. And we've been together for how many ever years, and I'm really embarrassed, especially for my kids.
First thing I'll say is the reason why there's not a lot of coverage on it, because the overall world doesn't give a shit about MMA. Because there's been a lot of dudes who, and a lot of things have been said about women, a lot of misogynistic activity that's been done towards women that has not got the attention that a Ray Rice incident in a stairwell got. Mm-hmm. You know, because more people care about NFL and football than they do about MMA. And I think that's why. It's just not big on everybody's radar that happened. Now, the fact that he's white, does that play into it? No, I think the fact that he has a lot of money and he's involved in a sport that no one really gives a shit about. If Michael Phelps slapped his wife, no one's going to give a shit because we don't care that much about swimming unless it's during the gold medals, during the Olympics.
Well, see, so here's the thing about this, though. I mean, Kyrie Irving, and this comes up a lot, Kyrie Irving did a post about a movie that's being sold on Amazon, and I saw this pop up a lot on social media, people saying this, right? That, well, he got a lot of flack, had to apologize and do all this stuff. This man, you see the video of him slapping the shit out of his wife, okay? It's not like he just, baby. No, he smacked the crap out of her, all right? Now, he's a trained fighter, too, because Dana White is not just, he's not just big for no reason. He actually trains. He knows how to throw a punch. Now, granted, it was open hand, but still, you still assaulted your wife, regardless, right? And so that people are seeing this double standard here. And they're saying, well, ESPN and UFC, you know, they got a business deal. So the folks at ESPN are like, hey.
The UFC and NBA are not on the same level money-wise. NBA's money way up here. NBA has the power to be like, hey, Kyrie, you need to get in there and go apologize. UFC, nope, they're not there yet. They don't have that kind of power to make a fighter do that. They don't pay the fighters the type of NBA money that they're
getting. That's because they keep the money. They don't pay them, but they keep the money.
But I'm saying that it's this whole different ballgame. I think that's why. So number one, it's business-why, and I think people don't really care because it's not as big as the NBA. But for Dana to come out and say, this is the first time it happens. Really?
Yeah.
So the very first time you ever got mad at your wife was the one time you were in Mexico and...
He didn't say the first time he was mad. He said the first time he smacked her. Oh, she smacked him.
So the first time that she got you to a level of wanting to smack you. Yeah. Now, here's the thing. She also hit him first. And
not an excuse, but go ahead.
Not an excuse, but don't hit a man. Period. But if y'all are both in public, and here's the thing, and this is this is to me the most critical part of it. If you're in a relationship and your partner, whether the male, female, whatever it is, they're in a position of power that generates a lot of revenue and money for you and your family, don't do that shit in public. Don't go get drunk in public. Get drunk at home together. Get drunk someplace private. Don't do that stuff in public because now you're putting the money at risk. Because she hit him, he slapped the shit out of her, and now it's a big thing. What if the UFC says, you know what, right, we didn't do enough. Hey, Dana White, we have to get you out of the UFC. And he wanted to not be able to make any of this money anymore.
I'm sure the investments are good. And I am sure, as they do with every one of these executives, he'd be given a great compensation package to walk away, right? So they'll be fine. It's still, but to your point, alcohol is a hell of a drug. You got to learn how to protect the money, but at the same time, it's still a double standard. And we cannot act like it's not a double standard. We know it is. It's right there. It's right there.
Show me a time where there was a black person that hit their partner and they were a celebrity or athlete in something that we didn't care about.
Well, I don't care enough to remember that, so.
That's my whole point. We can talk about football players. We can talk about basketball players, but
we don't care about basketball, but still
we don't care about it. Arthur Ashe could have been hitting people back in the day, but we don't care about tennis back then. We didn't start liking tennis really until Serena.
And speak for yourself. That was one of the first sports I played. So speak for yourself. Well,
it took you pretty far, didn't it? Awesome. But I'm just saying it's a sport or an activity that we don't really care about. And so that's why there's not a whole lot of noise around it because there's not sponsors, the people that have the power and the money helping generate enough noise. When the Ray Rice incident happened, of course, a lot of noise. And then as soon as the video dropped, where we got a chance to see it, you had sponsors, you had this, you had everybody making noise. No one's doing that for the UFC and for Dana White.
Compared to the NFL, yes, bigger. But at the same time, I mean, MMA right now is really, and when it comes to combat sports, people are talking about how boxing is taking such a dive and MMA is continually on the rise. It's pretty big. It may be not big on your radar, maybe even mine, but still.
It's not big on the radar. People who have money and can help have influence over the situation.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, as we move on to this bullshit, interesting stuff here, because you probably wonder why are we putting this in this segment today? Because, you know, a number of states had scheduled minimum wage increases that were either taking effect December 31st, 2022, or January 1st, 2023, right? Like including Delaware, who went from $10.50 to $11.75, Illinois from $12 to $13. I think here Massachusetts went from $14.25 to $15. And yeah, I mean, this is where you're seeing a lot. Nebraska from $9 to $10.50, and even New York, which is crazy to me, $13.20 up to $14.20. So you're seeing this increase, almost a dollar increase, around a dollar increase, a number of places and quite a few states. This is good, but is it enough?
So it's good, and it's also bullshit at the same time.
Why?
And let me explain why. So for the hourly team members, you're going from $10 to $11.20 or something like that. Does that make a huge difference to somebody making that kind of money? Yeah, it's a big deal to them, but it's really not that huge. So you're not really changing much of the gap that people are feeling with inflation going up and the amount of money that they're making. You're not really building that bridge. But the part that is bullshit is if you are an employee, let's say you were hired in Nebraska for $9 an hour 3 years ago, and you've worked hard, you've gotten some raises, so now you're making $12 an hour. And what was the minimum wage increase to in Nebraska?
$10.50.
So from $9 to $10.50. So they got another $1.50 increase. But that person now that's making $12, are they getting an increase? And most times it's no. So I think that's kind of jacked up, that they might say, okay, so I started here making $9 and I worked hard for 3 or 4 years to get to $12. You got this person that just starting yesterday with no experience, and they're starting at, you know, $1.50 less than me.
Well, I mean, it would have been worse had you only, after those 3 to 4 years, you're only up to $11, because now they'd only be 50 cents behind you.
But that's possible. I've seen people that with that a 30 cent raise for the year. I've seen that for people that make hourly wages, which is just blows my mind that you would just, as a person, that you sign off and think that's okay. 30% increase, Yanni, you did a good job. Awesome.
Well, think about it, but not even just in that space, right? Because you think about it for the hourly and you go, that's not 30 cent, because they go, well, it adds up. But I've seen executives in power positions that have absolutely no clue, because they spend 2 weeks at the end of the year at their winter home. So they have no idea what it means for everybody else, right? But at the same time, you're talking about on a regular basis, what was it? And for salaried employees, you're talking maybe a 5% increase, which a 5% increase really isn't a whole lot when you're not making, I mean, think about it, 5% of $100,000 is $5,000.
Yeah.
Let's bring that down to about $50,000. Now that's $2,500. Bring that down to $25. So basically, you're giving me a dollar more check, huh?
Well, true, but I do think that these wage increases on the salaried or exempt employees that don't have to clock in, it's a big win for them, because in the past, you would have employers say, hey, I'm going to pay you $20 an hour, and I'll allow you up to 5 or 10 hours of overtime, but they work you just like an exempt employee. In other words, you can get called at night, you can work overnight, you can do whatever. They would totally abuse that labor. And you did that in the restaurant industry. Someone, you know, comes a manager for their first time. Yeah, you're making really low money, but we worked the hell out of you. So what these wages do is they say, like in California, I think a year ago, it went up to $62,240 is the minimum that you can pay somebody to be an exempt person. So before that, I could have somebody that I want to make either exempt, or I would just keep them hourly, but pay them $20 and they can get wages. Now it's like, hey, that's not fair. You're treating this person like an exempt employee.
Right.
You need to pay them accordingly. So now they make at least $62,400. And then this year, January went up to $64,480. And so I think those opportunities are great for them, because now they're not getting, I think, abused, and their labor getting abused, because operators will sell the hourly side, be non-exempt, and have to clock in so you can get overtime. compared to being salary. Because normally when you're salary, you do lose. Like, there's bartenders that make more than their GMs at the bars or restaurants they work at because the GMs are salary. The bartenders are making hourly plus tips. So I think it just depends on what side of it you're on that it could be a win. But I do think that seeing people be able to elevate themselves financially with this is great. But those hourly people that are getting hosed, I don't know.
I'd like to point out that I said 5% and I was very wrong. It was really about 3%. Because 5%, as I'm doing the math, 5% was a little better than, no, it was 3%.
Yeah. Normally it's 3% sounds about right. You know.
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute. 5% didn't sound so damn bad, but oh, it was 3%. And even 5% is not enough at the same time. But you get what I was saying. And you're absolutely right. For those that, when they set the minimum salary for exempt, I think that's better because especially if they set it high enough so that, hey, because you are working. The people who say, I don't want to go into management. I don't want to do this because you right. can work me as much as you want. Because when especially when it comes to, oh yeah, there's no such thing as overtime, then that becomes an issue. You got to really like what you do in order to stay motivated to do it. And at the same time, the people that want to do the work and are willing to put in all that work are the ones that usually get abused the most because at the end of the day, if I can get you to keep going and not compensate you, then why yep. wouldn't I?
Like I said, to each their own, you know, it also depends on how you're living mm-hmm. your life. Like the increase in the minimum wage for the hourly side, if you're already broke and struggling at $9 an hour, $10.50 is not going to change your world.
But it could ease an extra bill in there. I mean, you know, so.
What extra bill?
Hey, all these subscriptions.
It's an extra $1.50 times 40. It's 40 hours. Says what?
That's a Disney Plus subscription.
40 cent. Nope. You forgot about taxes getting taken out of that. And then what if they have child support? So all those factors. What's an extra $40 a week really going to do for you before taxes?
Yeah.
Gross. Not much.
Well, you know what? At least it's a step in the right direction. And soon enough, your McDonald's burgers, your quarter pounder with cheese is going to cost the same amount that your Five Guys burger does because they got to pay for that. They got to compensate so the executives can keep making all the money that they can and bonuses that they can, and the price is going to keep going up. So,
or they got to wind up finding cheaper ways to produce the food, which means it's not fully food like McDonald's. It's not 100% real food. So you start cutting corners there to save your money. That way the price doesn't go up. Customer's happy. Minimum wage goes up for a team member. Team member's happy. Now everybody goes back to making money. Because Five Guys is all real natural ingredients.
I put it like this. I know how you haven't been in a McDonald's in a long time. I was in wrong recently. I was like, wait a minute, what? You can go up and order on your own on the machine. You don't have to go to somebody. So again, it's already getting there. We saw it in the self-checkout. Yeah. My mom refuses to use self-checkout because she's like, no, because if I use self-checkout, I'll give them a reason to not hire somebody. I'm like, they're still not gonna hire that person. See how many unopened checkouts they have? They're still not hiring any more people.
I'm sorry. Self-checkout is the shit to me because I'm impatient. I want to be able to
go. Yes, we know.
I don't want to watch. Because you stand in line. Here's what the worst thing that could happen, stand in line to wait for someone else to actually do it for you, is the person in front of you breaks out a check. And they start to write a check. Now you're just like, Jesus.
Still has checks.
Yes, it happens. That's that time. Someone's going to like write a check and you're just like, oh, here we go.
The worst one for that is when they write a check and they have a little kid and that little kid is a little brat and they start trying to rip that check apart while the mom's writing it. I've actually been in that situation and the cashier and I made eye contact. We're like, boy, if that was my child. I don't need to tell you what everybody in that line, what they were. You can guess. Hey, don't forget, we've got the Married at First Sight recaps Wednesday. Are we going to do 10:15 or are we going to do 10:30? Give us some time after the show. Let's get past the after party. We're going to do 10:15. We do 10:15?
Like we did last week? I said we do 10:15.
All right, so 10:15 after the show, we'll be on live Eastern time. That's YouTube Live. We're actually going to be on Facebook as well and Twitter. So be sure to join. We'd love to hear your input in and on as well because, you know, that's what makes it a lot of fun as we talk about the show. So watch the show and then we'll talk about it. Matter of fact, we'll be live tweeting throughout the show too from our personal accounts and, of course, RGRT Pod. And then Fridays, Terrell is all in. He's all in on these recaps because
I'm ready to love recap. That makes it like I'm enjoying it.
Hey, let me tell the story. Stop telling people the truth. Terrell is so happy to do it. But no, he's definitely all in because we're doing this Ready to Love season 7 recap. Friday nights, 9:30 Eastern, 8:30 Central, after the show. And after one episode of taking that in, one thing we do know is they really don't care about them folks because they keep putting them out in the heat. To sweat their wigs out, their weaves out, and the beijing out of their head in this hot Miami sun. I'm not understanding why.
I'm not understanding why either, but they put themselves out there, and I think Ready to Love, to me, is a show right now after just one episode. Actually, I did watch the end of season 6, episode 12. We got to demand better. we got to demand better as a people. We got to demand better. So I'm watching this. I'm like comparing to the things that other people get in other shows. I'm like, y'all should be demanding better.
You saying they're cutting corners?
Yeah, they're totally cutting corners. I'm just like, come on, y'all. You got to demand better. Tommy, say something.
Tommy say no, because that's gonna cut into my check.
Tommy looks like the type of dude that'll sell you a used Mercedes, knowing that it's only gonna last a week.
You know what it is? Tommy's got a great personality. And I was, where was I? Jeezy's Snowball last year. And Will Packer was hosted. Will Packer's got a great personality. So when you have people with these great personalities that stand in front of you and talk to you and convince you, that people are like, I just want to be a part of it.
Yeah. Whatever. I look at that. I'm just like, what are you selling? So you're saying you just want my... I give you my debit card and my PIN number for $1,000. And in 2 weeks, I'm going to have $10,000.
Do you have a bridge I can buy with this too?
Yeah, that sounds like Tommy would be able to pull that type of sell off.
Oh my God. Hey, I'm Yanni Root.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Root, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts, some of the bullshit you find on the internet. We'll talk about it on the show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.